I'd like you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And had kind of an interesting experience last night and this morning. I just wasn't feeling peace with what I was going to share. I just didn't have a release, which that makes me uncomfortable. Anybody that teaches the word knows that makes you uncomfortable when God's changing something up. You don't have any idea what's going on, why. But I'm sensitive to where the anointing, where that's stirring. And I realize, I could preach this. I could do that. I could open the Bible anywhere and just start sharing. But that doesn't mean that's what the Lord wants for that day. And then just a little bit earlier here, my wife got a text that Ralph and Selena are in the hospital and some rather serious symptoms. And we're going to pray for them. But I want to renew your mind with the word of God, because it's not enough just to say prayers for things. You understand? We need to pray a prayer of faith. Pray where there's a release of the power of God, that we get effective results. Okay? So that's very, very important to begin to understand. Sometimes people will latch on to that thing, well, prayer changes things. That's not actually true. It's a prayer of faith can connect you to heaven or connect you to the promises of God, and God changes things. It's not just saying prayers, or if that were the case, religious people all over the world that don't know Christ would have answers to all their prayers. So anyway, I just felt a quickening in my heart. Let's go to Matthew 8, 5. Build our faith up a little bit here, and then we're going to pray a prayer for faith for them, and then we'll go into some worship here. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, I've not found such great faith, not in Israel. And then he goes on there and he tells the centurion, verse 13, go your way. As you've believed, so be it done unto thee. And a servant was healed in the same hour. Now, this same account also is brought out in Luke chapter 7. And there's another point that comes out in Luke 7, in that the centurion sent some people to Jesus inquiring of him to come and heal this man. And then Jesus sent some people back. And the principle that's there is that God looks at a man sent in the name of another man as that man. If someone goes in your name, or we have ambassadors for our nation, they go in the name of our government with a message, and the power of our government stands behind it, but they're going in the name. So this man, he sends some people to inquire of Jesus. Jesus sends a message back. You don't have to personally come. Just speak the word. And he did that. Jesus marveled at his faith. But again, the principle there is God looks at a man sent in the name of another man as that man. When you go in the name of Jesus, you're going in his name, sent by him, it's as though he is there. When you lay your hands on someone in the name of Jesus, it's as though his hands are on them. And that's the truth we want to have there. I remember, this would have been probably about 1983. I had heard a brother preach this message, and it really went into my spirit. I was meditating on it for a few days. And it was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 in the morning. And there was a call from a lady at church, and she had a daughter. She was 15 years old, as diabetic. And she went into insulin shock. And this woman was very strong in the Lord, very determined to believe God. And she called me. She lived about 5 minutes from my house. So I left immediately, jumped in the car. I'm driving over. And the whole way over, I keep saying this to myself. God looks at a man sent in the name of another man as that man. When I get there, that girl will be healed. God looks at a man sent in the name of another man as that man. I'm going in the name of Jesus. When I get there, Lord, you'll be there. She'll be healed. So for 5 minutes, I was just saying this over and over. It was strong in my heart prior to this, but I'm just renewing my mind to the truth, having expectation when I get there, she'll be healed because of these scriptures. So I arrived and I went and rang the doorbell. And when I rang the doorbell, she came out of insulin shock. And it wasn't like any drug bringing her out or anything like that. She came out, and the mom came down. She was like praising God. She was, I mean, just praising God. And then a little while later, the daughter got dressed and came down. But it's true. God sees you when you're sent in his name. It's as though he's there. And that sometimes one truth in itself can put you over the edge when it comes to believing God in a situation. In fact, if there's a crisis, you don't need to try to remember 35 scriptures. You just need one truth that stirs faith in your heart. And just go in the light of that. So with this, the message is sent back to this centurion. He's like a captain in the army, that I will come and heal him. He sends word back. You don't have to actually come, just speak the word. He says, I'm a man under authority. And you see, he recognized Jesus had the authority. All he had to do was give a command, and the power of God would be upon that command. That's all he had to do. Bring forth that command. And Jesus marveled because others were used to him touching them, and that's fine. Praise God for a touch from Jesus. But this guy said, you don't even have to come. Just speak the word. He said, well, you know, he's one who's commanded by his superior officer. He carries out the command. He gives commands as a captain to soldiers under him, and that word's carried out. So he says, speak the word only. Speak the word only. And the thing we want to draw from this is that sometimes you can't literally be with somebody, lay hands on them. We can't walk into a hospital anymore. You all know that. You can't. And I was thinking about this. Like, man, I should just walk in there. You're not getting in the front door. I don't know if they even let you on the parking lot or not, but you're not getting in. But we can speak the word, and the word alone can carry the power of God to bring healing to our brother and sister. Speak the word only. Speak the word. Speak the word. Then you couple that with some scriptures where 2 or 3 gather in his name and ask, it shall be done. Now, that's speaking of asking with, according to the will of God. But Jesus never said, I don't want to heal you. It's always his will. He shed his blood to purchase that as a part of our redemption. That is his will for us. We can't doubt that. He doesn't have favorites. Now, there can be conditions to things. A person could be in unforgiveness or something and handcuff the Spirit of God from moving. But that aside, you don't know that with other people. You don't know where they're accountable to the Lord and not. So for us, we should always endeavor to believe the best and endeavor to release faith in behalf of someone else. It's not for us to try and figure out where everybody's at in life. That'll drive you crazy. But we continue to pray one for another. And the Lord's healing is extended to each one of us. So we speak the word. And the power of God goes in that word being sent forth. So, you ready to speak the word? Again, I want to pray for Ralph and Selena. He was in some serious condition from what I understand. But now they're saying they're going to let him go home. So what all does that mean? I don't know. But in any case, it doesn't matter because the healing power of Jesus Christ is greater than any sickness in our body. We need to hold fast to our faith, hold fast to our confession, and continue to release the power of God. One of the things with relative to what I've been sharing recently that I really believe where the Spirit of God wants to manifest is in the corporate anointing, which what we're about to do is a part of that. We're going to speak the word on behalf of someone else who's a part of us, okay, and speak the word and release the healing power of Jesus Christ that every symptom be completely removed. Hallelujah. You ready to pray? I know you're praying, people. Does the dog want a bone? We don't have to ask our dog twice if she's ready for dinner. She's there. So we're going to pray. Let's stand together. Release our faith together. Father, we acknowledge your word. We acknowledge, Father, the power of the Holy Ghost. That same power that raised Christ from the dead abides in us. Resurrection power is within us. We acknowledge, Lord, that you purchased this new covenant with your blood. And that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, healing belongs to us. It is ours as believers. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just set ourselves in unity to release our faith even now. On behalf of Brother Ralph Neely, his wife Selena, Lord, we speak the word. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. May healing power flow into their lungs and into wherever they're afflicted. May the oxygen levels increase. Hallelujah. May they rise to the place of normalcy. May every viral component that would be afflicting their bodies be eradicated, destroyed, and removed. And I thank you, Lord, you are their healer. You're the Lord, our healer. We speak the word. Lord, we visualize the fact that your word's going from here to there. Yes. Right into the very room where they are. Right into their body. The word of the Lord that carries healing power is released even now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated for a moment. I'll share something else here a little bit. Just to prep us for some all-out praise and worship of our God. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Sometimes God shows up, you're just minding your own business, doing what you do, and he shows up. And they're thinking, what is going on? They're very afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not. You don't have to be afraid of the presence of God. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." What the Lord's about to do, or what he has done that day, was for all people, not just the Jews, every human being, a blessing to every human being. "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The words of the prophets are being brought to pass this very day. a Savior is born. And it shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, we tend to make these like cute scenes. You have to understand, it says there was no room in the inn. And Mary has to give birth to this child in a barn with animals. And the manger was just the feeding trough. And maybe some of you have never been around a farm before. But the barn's a dirty place. You have animals in there. It's not a clean place. Doesn't smell good. Nothing about it's good. And when I had horses, there would be the event, the downside of owning horses. You would have your dung out day. You had to shovel all the dung out. Jesus was born in the midst of sin of this world, the darkness of this world, in the midst of animal dung, the unclean. But that's a prophetic picture that the Savior came to an unclean people. He came to an earth that was unclean and filled with darkness. And here's where he's born. And suddenly, you know, there's suddenlies with God. Sometimes we're anticipating something and it's taking so long and we think, when, Lord, when? And suddenly. Now, I think you ladies that are moms probably can understand this better than us guys. Because you become pregnant, the months are going by, and as latter months, you get uncomfortable carrying this baby around. And baby's kicking you. It all goes along with it. And you're waiting, 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 waiting. And some ladies get to the point where they say, when is this going? When am I going to be delivered? Or deliver the child? And suddenly, the water breaks. Suddenly, it's time. And you say, honey, start the car. It's time. Suddenly. You know, with Pentecost, the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem. And they're waiting, and they didn't really know what was going to happen. And suddenly, the Holy Ghost is poured out, and they're speaking in other tongues. Suddenly. And there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So the angels of heaven break in to praise because it's been declared the Savior's born. Now, their ministry is to do the will, the word of God in bringing forth the implementation of the blessings of God. And in heaven, the pictures we have of heavens, everything up there, all creatures, are continuously praising and worshiping God. Well, they break on here. And there's other scriptures in the Psalms. I don't have time to get into all of them right now, but there's scriptures in the Psalms where it's saying to let everything praise the Lord and that all heaven rejoice, all the earth to rejoice. And I think of those verses when I read this because all the angels, is the great prophetic event of history. All the angels break in to praise, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So now the angels, they go on. And something just flashes back in my mind. A few years back, there were groups doing these flash mob things. And I actually played one of those a few years back on a video where they would pull these choirs together and go in these malls that are like six stories, European style, open atrium in the middle, and people would be on the different levels, and they would begin to break into the Hallelujah chorus. That is so awesome. I think that song's so powerful. And when you have people that are really skilled singers, I'm not one of those guys, but I still sing with all my heart. It's such an awesome and powerful thing. And that's just like a little glimpse of heaven. The whole heavenly host praising God, glorying to God in the highest. Then it goes on down here. And the shepherds, they come to where Jesus is and they tell their experience with the angels. And verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. The shepherds saw this. First, it brought fear, it brought joy. They see the Christ just like the angel said in that manger. They return back, glorifying God, praising God for what they had seen and heard. So I just want to pose a question to you. What have you seen and heard? What have you heard about the Savior? What have you seen as to his work in your life or someone else's life? It's according to that which we've seen and heard, or we could say no about him. We will rejoice in him. We will become just like the shepherds here or like the angels, glorifying the God of heaven who's brought salvation to the earth. And this is very, very appropriate for the now, because there's all this evil going on in the earth, all manner of evil. Spirit of fear is at work. There's all kinds of things going on. But our Savior has come. We never should lose sight of the salvation we have in Jesus, because all that we would ever need, spirit, soul, and body, has been provided for us right in that. So regardless of what we're going through, we can be thanking God because of what he's given to us.